Amin ya Rabbal Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, one and all. Allah accept us for His deen. Allah has blessed us here with, mashallah, lots of rain. Rain is pouring. Allah bless the ummah of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with beneficial rain. Allah help the ummah throughout the world, wherever the ummah is suffering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for our brothers, for our ummah in the four corners of the world. Subhanallah, we mentioned Hazrat Abu Jandal and Abu Basir radiallahu anhumah. We learn an ajeeb lesson. That they established Islam on the seashore. And after some time, after there was a colony there, then the mushrikeen of Makkah felt the threat. So they wrote to Rasulullah ﷺ pleading that, can we remove the one condition in the treaty? That we also want those who are at the colony to come to you in Medina Munawwara. And Nabi ﷺ then wrote to them. Allahu Akbar. They had, mashallah, did great work there. Alhamdulillah, Allah's wisdom. You know? And when Rasulullah's letter came, inviting them to Medina Munawwara, they were yearning for Medina Munawwara. Due to Nabi ﷺ being there, due to them wanting to be in the company of Rasulullah ﷺ. For so long they suffered in the dungeons of Makkah. Now they're also in some other region, in another town on the seashore. And now they are awaiting this opportunity. And Allah gave them this opportunity. They were elated. They were overjoyed. And the letter arrived. The man receiving the letter was really ill, and the sacrifices took a toll upon him. He read the letter, gave his companions the good news, and he then breathed his last. So subhanallah, it was the sahaba who sowed the seed and made the effort, and subhanallah, the results that came out. So many a time the righteous sow the seed, but they don't see the results. Like Hazrat Abu Basir radiallahu anhu, who made so much of effort there on the seashore. But now when the letter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to reap the fruit of their sacrifice, where now they could be welcomed in Medina Munawwara, but he breathed his last. This is their sacrifice. They made the effort. They sowed the seed. They planted the mangoes, the potatoes for the biryani. But they didn't eat the biryani, for example, for our understanding. So many times the pious people do that. They sow the seeds. But Allahu Akbar, they till the land, they prepare everything for the generations to come. Allahu Akbar. Another Sahabi I want to share with you about is a very righteous Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, like every one of them. His name was Shamoon, mashallah, Shamoon, radiallahu anhu. Shamoon bin Yazid bin Khunafa, and he was an ally to the Ansar. Some attribute him to the Banu Qurayza tribe, that he had a Jewish background and he had then embraced Islam. But there is differences of opinion. Some say he's from the Azd clan, which is originally a Yemeni clan. So there's a difference of opinion as far as his origin is concerned. Subhanallah. There's some who attribute to him that Hazrat Rayhana radiallahu anha was his daughter. Because this Sahabi, Hazrat Shamoon, is known as Abu Rayhana radiallahu anhu. And then he's known as Azdi, Dosi, Ansari. But he's known by the title Abu Rayhana. Shamoon, Abu Rayhana radiallahu anhu. A really great Sahabi radiallahu anhu. And the father of Rayhana, Hazrat Rayhana radiallahu anha, was a great Sahabiya of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was elated one day, because he was sitting in the masjid and he said, this great Sahabi is coming now to give me the news that Hazrat Rayhana is ready to embrace Islam. So she was Jewish, and or she was from the Ahlul Kitab, which is also Jewish, and the Sahabi was sent who knew the books to explain to her. And alhamdulillah, he came to give Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam the news that she had embraced Islam. Allahu Akbar. She was from the family of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was a concubine of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sariyatun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved her. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam offered to wed her. Allahu Akbar. And she said, "Oh Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would love you to wed me, but if this is easier for you, I rather be your possession. If this makes it easier for you, well, you don't have to give me that time, but I am here for you to be in your khidmah." So subhanallah,
What an amazing quality that you wouldn't hear about, you know, discussed. But this is something really amazing about the Sahabiyya radiallahu anha. She came from a Jewish background. She embraced Islam. She's a Sahabiyya of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahabiyya. She's possessed by Rasulullah. She's owned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offers to free her and wed her. But she said, this will be easier for you. Imagine how she put forward what is more comfortable for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's reported that on the Hajj of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Rihana was with, and someone commented and said, oh, you were not our mother. You were not chosen to be our mother. So that individual tried to hurt her, and look how she responds so wisely. She said, Allah knows best that Allah didn't choose you to be my son. She just responded in that wise way. But Allahu Akbar, not long thereafter, she did depart from this world. But as far as Hazrat Abu Rayhana radiallahu anhu is concerned, he was known for his piety, his denouncing the world, his level of worship, his level of abstaining from the embellishments and the pleasures of this world. Allahu Akbar. There's amazing reports of him striving for Allah, going in Allah's way, spreading the deen of Allah, striving for Allah, fighting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah, it's known that he would narrate the seerah, the maghazi, in Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak. And he remained doing this, subhanallah, all his life. There's one amazing report that one day he returns after striving in the path of Allah. Now obviously, this is the level of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, subhanallah. Some of us who have a very weak, shallow understanding won't understand this. And yes, when you say moderation, yes, it is like that. We do understand what you are saying. But remember, in the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, there's so many different examples. For you and I, yes, we have to be moderate, we have to be considerate, we have to fulfill the right of the wife, the right of the children, the right of Allah's deen. Allah forgive us, we want to put Allah's deen's right first. But subhanallah, in the Sahaba we find amazing examples. See this example, the quality of the wife and the quality of the husband. He returns from Allah's way. Imagine, Allah knows how long he was out in Allah's way, striving in Allah's way, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give his life, to uplift Allah's deen. He comes home, his wife is waiting for him. Now, obviously, she's awaiting him, she's eager to be with him, subhanallah. And he sought her permission to perform some raka'at, Allahu Akbar. And he started his raka'at, Allahu Akbar. He started these raka'at. And he just continued and continued and continued. And he continued. And she waited for him for a long time. And after he had completed, because Fajr was near, and then he realizes that he was oblivious of his wife. And she asked him, that you know, Abu Rayhana, you went in Allah's way for so long. Ghazawt wa raja'at wa ta'ibt. You strove for so long in Allah's way. You tired yourself in Allah's way. But what about my turn? So yes, the wife does have her turn and she does have her right. But this is a rare incident where we learn, subhanallah, the sweetness of the salah in the Sahaba's lives. Allahu Akbar. Yes, you and I have to fulfill the rights. But what we learn, look at Sahaba's sincerity and purity. And look at his wife's understanding also. And she does ask for her right also. But her consideration also. And his understanding also. And he's apologizing after that, because he sincerely didn't realize what had went on. And he sincerely became oblivious of the fact that she's awaiting him. Now imagine the passions. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. You went in Allah's way. You tied yourself in Allah's way. What about my turn? What about my right? Amalana minka nasib. I also want my share with you, to be with you, my husband. He says, really, I didn't realize. I started my salah, the pleasure, the sweetness of salah occupied me, and that time had passed in such a manner. You and I can learn from here. Let's fulfill, yes, our family's rights, children's rights, you know, teachers' rights, the rights of our work.
But most importantly, Allah's right, Deen's right. And then also, let us also try and acquire some sweetness in our salah. Let's try and prolong our raka'at. Alhamdulillah, fulfill the family's rights and so forth. And then start some raka'at. In the early Makki surahs, so many a time, the tahajjud of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is described in the Qur'an Kareem. Allah says, this is the early revealed surah of the Qur'an Kareem. After أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا إنا سنلقي عليك قولا ثقيلا إن ناشئة الليل هي أشد وطئا وأقوم قيلا إن لك في النهار سبحا طويلا واذكر اسم ربك وتبتل إليه تبتيلا رب المشرق والمغرب لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو فاتخذه وكيلا واصبر على ما يقولون واهجرهم هجرا جميلا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's wrapped up in a shawl. This is chapter 73 of the Quran Kareem, early Meccan revealed surah. O my Nabi, who's wrapped up in his shawl. The other meaning of muzzammil is, O my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is burdened with a great responsibility, a heavy load on his shoulder. Muzzammil from the word zamila. Stand up at night, but a little for rest. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's majority portion of his night was in tahajjud. And all the Anbiya alayhi salam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke the same of Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam. And all the Anbiya alayhi salam. Tahajjud was their hallmark. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhorted his ummah. فَإِنَّهُ دَأْبُ الصَّالِحِينَ قَبْلَكُمْ. This is the way, this is the trait, the quality of the righteous, even of the past. Half the night, or a little less, or more, and recite the Qur'an in a beautiful tone and mode and method and manner. Tartila, subhanallah. And we have indeed placed upon thee a heavy, powerful statement, meaning the Qur'an. Qur'an is a heavy, powerful, valuable statement, Allah's kalam. And awakening at night, here ashaddu wat'an, is more impressive on the nafs, more suppressing the nafs. And the other meaning of wat'an is wita'an, is more in conformity. Because what is meant by conformity? Where the heart and the tongue is in conformity. Where one, what one recites, one can understand better. Because the heart is deliberating and pondering. And wa'aqwa muqila is more righteous in utterance. Meaning the Qur'an is the most perfect speech. One is reading Allah's kalam, the Qur'an Kareem. Subhanallah. And also it has another meaning of, it has a great impact in what is said. So Allah is saying to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the long tahajjud will create that impact in what you say to the people. And that meaning is also there, because the next verse, verse number 7, refers to his lengthy gush. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform lengthy tahajjud and lengthy gush to the non-Muslims, to the whole world, meeting them, inviting them. Verily for you in the day is a lengthy swim. Sabhan tawila. And remember your Lord. So dhikr of Allah also. Remember Allah, so dhikr of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala puts effect in the words. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's words had the greatest impact. But this is a lesson for us, his ummah, who are his followers, who are the heirs of Anbiya alayhimu salam, who are also responsible for this deen. So Allah says, and remember the name of your Lord. Take the name of your Lord. So that's in dhikrullah. And also when talking to people about Allah, tell them about Allah. And وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَتِيلًا. And devote yourself to Allah. Cut off from makhluq and connect yourself to Allah. That's tabattul. And then tabatil is, as you are connecting yourself to Allah, tabatil is transitive. You get intransitive and transitive. Tabattal, intransitive, for yourself.
tabtil, simultaneously you will do the same for humanity, where you connect them to Allah and disassociate them from makhluq, and connect them also, your ummah, to Khaliq. Who is this Allah that you are connecting to, O Ummah? Rabbul Mashriqi wal Maghribi la ilaha illa hu. He is Allah, the Lord of the East and the West. So this is that Allah who you are turning to. Who is the all-powerful, the almighty, the greatest? There's nothing but He. There's no deity but He. There's no God but Him, Allah. La ilaha illa hu. There's no one we can turn to who can help us besides Allah. So place your reliance in Him. فَاتَّخِذْهُ وَكِيلًا. Trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other context also shows, remember Allah when going to meet the people. And where should you go meet the people and tell the people about this great Allah? He is the Lord of the East and West. So there could be this meaning also, because Allah is the Lord of the East and West, and you're telling them about Allah. So everywhere tell Allah, tell the people about this great Allah, and go to the East and the West, meaning everywhere, and tell people about Allah. Wherever you may be, in the East and the West, and that would encompass the North and the South, wherever one way may be, turn to Allah profusely, turn to Allah abundantly, and tell the people about Allah abundantly, emphatically, kindly. People don't know Allah. They don't know why we Muslims call out Allah's name, Allah. They don't know who we are referring to when we say Allah. So introduce Allah to the people, the Almighty Allah to the people. They don't know. They think we worship some other god, some na'udhu billah, some other deity. They don't know our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sadly, they don't know our Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So tell the people, educate the people. And this is the time also we can educate them about so many beautiful things. Tell the people about Hazrat Isa alayhi salam's birth, that it wasn't in this month. Tell them about the story of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam in the Quran. And tell them about our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam teaching us that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is going to return. And he will come when Allah wants him to come. But he is coming soon, and we Muslims await him, and he will be with us. And explain to them. There's a beautiful booklet that is available and can be made available to you. 8 pages, written by Maulana Abu Bakr Aku, rahimahullah. Beautifully written, where we can politely converse with the Christians and explain to them the beauty of Islam and certain things in their books that we Muslims do can also be shown to them. And sometimes that can have a good impact on them, because when we explain to them our belief of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, that he is one of the mightiest men of Allah, and he was raised to the heavens, and he's coming back, people's hearts soften and they want to know. And when explaining to the people this message, this da'wat, Allah Ta'ala says, O my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wasbir ala ma yaqulun, and patiently bear what they are saying and what they are going to say. So when you're going to give them da'wah, some might be disrespectful. Some might turn, you know, refuse to listen to you. Right? Allah Ta'ala says, you make sabr. When they don't want to listen, when they want to insult, you make sabr. In the medan of da'wah, we have to be patient. We have to offer. Don't wait for them to come to us. Our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never waited for people to come. He went to the people. So now is the time where many are traveling. Travel with the intention of da'wah also. How we can, with our akhlaq, inspire people towards the truth, with character, with wise words, carry some good literature to share the truth with people as well. And when people are vulgar and disrespectful, patiently bear what they are saying and leave them in a kind manner. وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. So what we learn, we have to meet the people. We have to invite the people. My brother, you invite the men. My sister, you invite the sisters. Tell them about Allah. Introduce Allah to them in a wise manner. See, this is the early Makki surah. From the beginning, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told about tahajjud and told about da'wat. And lengthy tahajjud, lengthy da'wat. Allahu Akbar. Allah forgive us, at least we can do some tahajjud, some da'wat, make some intention. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's tahajjud lengthy from the beginning. And what we learn, something else that's very interesting, is tahajjud was lengthy even though very few surahs were revealed in the initial stages. So how was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's tahajjud lengthy? We learn from here that he would repeat the ayat and repeat the surahs in his lengthy tahajjud. Because if there were just a few surahs, how will the tahajjud be prolonged? So now you and I sometimes know very few surahs. So that's no excuse for not performing a lengthy tahajjud. Read the few that we know repeatedly, again and again and again, so that we find sweetness, concentration, devotion, enjoyment in our communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq to love Him and to make an effort that humanity love our merciful, kind, loving, forgiving, compassionate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, la ilaha illa Allah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.